Today, we're tackling something pretty much everyone experiences, and it's almost always stressful. Vomiting. You know the feeling. It's the middle of the night, someone's sick, and you're thinking, is this just a bug? Is this something way more serious?
Exactly. And that uncertainty, that stress, it really comes from not knowing how to rank the symptoms. So our mission today, based on the sources, is to sort through that. We want to build a clear hierarchy, helping you tell the difference between, say, a mild stomach bug you can ride out and a real emergency, like a heart attack, stroke, or some kind of internal blockage.
That's the goal. By the end of this, you should have a much better handle on the specific red flags that mean go to the ER now, or even call 911, and just as importantly, when it's probably okay to manage at home, maybe using telehealth.
Okay, let's dive in.
Right, let's unpack the big ones first. The sources are really clear about certain red flags, things that mean immediate medical attention, even if you feel like, oh, maybe I can just wait and see.
Yes, absolutely. And often, it's less about how much someone is vomiting and more about what else is happening. So let's start with pain. Abdominal pain is common with vomiting, but what makes it an emergency?
Good question. We all get cramps sometimes.
Right. But we're talking about severe pain, like intense, can't get comfortable, maybe really focused in one spot kind of pain. And here's a crucial point from the sources. If the pain started before the vomiting, or if it's really localized, say, sharp pain in the lower right abdomen, that's a huge warning sign.
Why specifically?
Well, that pattern could point to things like appendicitis, pancreatitis, maybe even internal bleeding. These aren't things you wait on. They often need urgent medical or even surgical intervention.
Okay, so localized pain or pain then vomiting, big red flag. It sounds like we need to think beyond just the stomach, though.
Yeah.
What about the brain? That seems less obvious with vomiting.
It does, but it's critical. That brings us to neurological symptoms. Your body might trigger vomiting if there's increased pressure inside your skull. So if vomiting comes with confusion, a really bad headache that doesn't let up, blurry vision, trouble speaking, slurring words, or sudden serious dizziness, you need emergency help. It could signal anything from a head injury to a stroke or even meningitis. It's your brain sending an SOS.
And the heart, too. I think that surprises a lot of people.
It really does. But cardiovascular symptoms are another major red flag. Chest pain, feeling short of breath, your heart racing or beating irregularly, maybe pain spreading to your arm, shoulder, or jaw. These can all accompany vomiting during a heart attack.
And the sources mentioned this is especially important for certain groups.
Yes, particularly older adults and women. For them, vomiting might be one of the less typical signs of heart attack, sometimes called a silent heart attack, so you can't ignore those symptoms together.
Okay, major systems covered. Pain, brain, heart. What about just the sheer persistence of it? When does vomiting itself become the emergency?
That's about persistent vomiting and dehydration. If someone's been vomiting frequently for more than, say, 48 hours, or crucially, if they can't keep anything down, not even sips of water, for maybe 12 to 24 hours, that's heading into dangerous territory.
Because of dehydration.
Exactly. Severe dehydration is a medical emergency on its own. Also, a high fever, think 102 degrees Fahrenheit or higher alongside vomiting, suggests the body's fighting something serious, maybe a bad bacterial infection, potentially even sepsis. That needs checking out fast.
So we have these clear ER criteria, but the sources also drew a line between drive to the ER and call 911. What tips the balance towards calling an ambulance immediately?
These are the situations where getting help to you or getting transported safely and quickly is paramount. The biggest one is probably potential loss of consciousness. If someone is really drowsy, hard to wake up, or seems like they might pass out.
Why is that so critical for 911?
The risk of aspiration. Choking on vomit if you're not fully conscious. It can block the airway, which is life-threatening. Paramedics can manage the airway en route. Also, if you just feel too weak or dizzy to safely get yourself or someone else to the hospital, call 911.
Makes sense. And what about that dramatic type of vomiting you sometimes see in movies?
Ah, projectile vomiting, where it's incredibly forceful, shooting across a distance. While it can happen with a bad virus, if it's paired with any of those neurological signs we talked about, confusion, severe headache, it strongly suggests a rapid increase in pressure inside the skull.
Like from a bleed or something?
Potentially, yes. A stroke, a hemorrhage, maybe a tumor. It means something serious is happening in the brain right now, and you need immediate critical care.
So the force itself can be a clue about brain pressure, not just stomach issues. Any other 911 triggers?
Yes. The last major one is suspected toxic ingestion or overdose. If you think someone has swallowed something poisonous or overdosed on medication, call 911 immediately.
Why not just rush them to the ER?
Time is absolutely critical. Antidotes often need to be given quickly. Plus, first responders can start treatment, maybe even give initial doses of an antidote like Narcan for opioids on the way to the hospital. Those minutes can save a life.
Okay, that's a really clear set of urgent flags. Now, moving on from the accompanying symptoms, the source has also talked about decoding what the vomit actually looks like. They stress color isn't everything, but some colors are definite alarms. Which ones should make us sit up and take notice?
Color alone isn't a diagnosis, but some are undeniable warnings. We need to focus on signs of bleeding. The most obvious is bright red. That's fresh blood, what doctors call hematemesis.
Meaning active bleeding.
Exactly. It means something is actively bleeding right now in the upper part of the digestive system, maybe a stomach ulcer that's burst or a tear in the esophagus, sometimes called a Mallory Weiss tear, which can happen from the force of vomiting itself. Any bright red blood means ER immediately. Yeah.
And what about darker blood? The sources had a pretty distinct description for that.
Yeah, the dark red or black, often described as looking like wet coffee grounds. That image really sticks, doesn't it?
It does. What does it mean?
It means the blood isn't fresh. It's been sitting in the stomach for a while, and the stomach acid has started digesting it, turning it dark and granular. It still points to bleeding in the upper GI tract, maybe a peptic ulcer, possibly even a tumor. It's still very serious and needs urgent medical evaluation to find the source.
So bright red or coffee grounds both mean seek help fast.
Yeah.
Then there's that really alarming, though maybe rarer sign, brown vomit that smells, well, fecal.
Right. This is a big one. Now, brown vomit itself can just be from eating dark-colored foods. But if it's brown and the person hasn't had a bowel movement in several days and it has a distinct fecal odor, that strongly suggests a bowel obstruction.
Like a complete blockage.
Potentially, yes. And that's usually a surgical emergency. The contents of the bowel simply can't move down, so they back up.
Okay, those are the scary ones. Let's quickly touch on the colors that usually aren't a major concern, just for completeness.
Sure. Clear or whitish vomit. Usually just stomach fluids or saliva, especially if the stomach is empty. Sometimes it might be mucus, like from postnasal drip, especially in kids. The big exception, though, clear vomit after a significant head injury is serious because of the injury, not the color itself.
Got it. And yellow or green?
That's typically bile. It comes from the gallbladder and helps digest fats. Seeing it usually just means the stomach is empty and bile is refluxing up. Generally, it's not a worry unless it's happening alongside those other red flags we discussed, like severe pain or signs of major dehydration. That could hint at a blockage further down.
Okay, so context is everything, which brings us to the underlying causes. Vomiting is just a symptom, right? It can be triggered by so many different things. We need to understand that range to really gauge the risk.
Absolutely. It ranges from trivially minor to life-threatening. Clinical judgment really relies on putting the vomiting into context with the person's history and whatever other symptoms are present.
So let's start with the common, usually mild stuff, the things that make us miserable but generally pass on their own.
Right, the usual suspects. Top of the list is probably the stomach flu, what doctors call viral gastroenteritis, often caused by things like norovirus. It feels awful, but it's usually your body just trying to forcefully expel the virus. It typically clears up in a day or two.
What else falls into that milder category?
Mild food poisoning, maybe from salmonella or E. coli. Diet issues, eating something that disagrees with you. Motion sickness is a common one. And mild morning sickness in early pregnancy, provided the person can still stay hydrated.
Okay, those are the generally self-limiting causes. Now let's talk about the serious underlying conditions where vomiting is more like a distress signal from a major system failure.
These are the ones the ER is trying to rule out quickly. First, you have mechanical blockages, something physically blocking the digestive tract, maybe scar tissue from old surgery, a hernia that's strangulated, or even a part of the intestine twisting on itself. That needs urgent, often surgical evaluation.
And you mentioned metabolic issues earlier.
Yes, a metabolic crisis. The classic example is diabetic ketoacidosis, or DKA, in people with diabetes. Their blood sugar gets sky high, their blood becomes acidic, and they get severely dehydrated. Vomiting is a key symptom of this life-threatening state. The vomiting isn't the primary problem. It's a sign the whole body's chemistry is dangerously off balance.
What about infections?
Definitely. A systemic infection, like sepsis, where an infection overwhelms the body, can cause vomiting. Severe bacterial infections, maybe like C. diff colitis in really bad cases. And also localized severe inflammation, like acute pancreatitis or appendicitis, which we mentioned earlier regarding pain.
Are there chronic conditions to consider too?
Yes, the sources mention that persistent ongoing vomiting, especially if it comes with unexplained weight loss, needs investigation for chronic issues. Things like gastroparesis, where the stomach empties too slowly, or even certain types of cancer, though less common, can present this way. That requires careful follow-up.
Okay, so assuming none of those terrifying red flags are present, when is it safe to skip the ER? What's the right way to use other options, like telehealth or just calling your regular doctor?
This is important. Telehealth or virtual urgent care can be really useful for milder cases. If you suspect it's just a standard stomach bug or maybe mild food poisoning, and you mainly need advice on managing symptoms at home, checking if you need to worry, or maybe getting a prescription for anti-nausea medicine.
Like Zofran.
Exactly, like ondansetron, Zofran. Sometimes stopping the vomiting cycle is key to being able to rehydrate orally. Telehealth is great for that, but only if there are absolutely no red flag symptoms, no severe pain, no neurological issues, no signs of serious dehydration.
And when should you just make an appointment with your primary care doctor?
Your primary care doctor is the right call for less urgent, maybe ongoing or intermittent vomiting, if you think it might be related to acid reflux, a side effect of a medication you take regularly, maybe a food intolerance you're trying to figure out. Those are things to discuss with your regular doctor. Also, they're crucial for follow-up after an ER visit or hospitalization.
Right, for the longer term picture. Now, if we're managing at home, let's talk dehydration again. Because even a simple stomach bug can become dangerous if dehydration sets in, especially for kids or older adults.
Absolutely critical. Their bodies just don't have the same reserves or regulatory capacity. So you have to watch closely for signs of severe dehydration. Key things to look for in adults are not urinating much or the urine being very dark and concentrated or strong smelling. A rapid heart rate because the heart's working harder to compensate for low fluid volume. Low blood pressure, especially feeling dizzy or faint when standing up, that's called orthostatic hypotension, a real warning sign. Also, poor skin turgor. If you gently pinch the skin on the back of the hand, it should snap back quickly. If it stays tented up, that suggests dehydration. Muscle cramps can happen too, from electrolyte imbalances.
Okay, so if someone's managing at home, what's the best way to rehydrate? We often hear about sports drinks.
Yeah, and that's where the sources offer some specific advice. Simple home care is best, but how you rehydrate matters. Small, frequent sips are key. Gulping can trigger more vomiting. Water is okay, but oral rehydration solutions, ORS, like Pedialyte or store brands, are often better.
Why ORO specifically?
Because they have a balanced mix of electrolytes, sodium, potassium, and a little sugar, formulated for optimal absorption in the gut. Sports drinks often have too much sugar and not enough electrolytes, especially sodium. That high sugar can actually sometimes worsen diarrhea by pulling water into the bowel, so ORS is generally preferred, especially if there's diarrhea too.
Good distinction. And once the vomiting stops.
Then you gradually reintroduce food. The old standby brat diet, bananas, rice, applesauce, toast is still decent advice. Bland, easy to digest foods. And one point about over-the-counter anti-nausea meds like Pepto-Bismol. For simple stomach bugs, it's often better to let the body do its thing unless the vomiting is really severe or preventing rehydration. They can sometimes mask symptoms or cause side effects.
Okay, let's close the loop. If you do end up in the ER, what are they trying to achieve? What should someone expect?
Right. The ER team has two main priorities initially. First, rule out the bad stuff. They're thinking about those life-threatening causes we discussed: obstruction, bleeding, stroke, sepsis, DKA. They'll likely do a quick assessment, ask about red flags, and order tests, blood work to check for infection, dehydration, electrolyte problems, maybe kidney function or blood sugar. Depending on the symptoms, they might order imaging fast, like an ultrasound or CT scan, if they suspect a blockage or appendicitis.
And the second priority.
Stabilization. If you're dehydrated or vomiting uncontrollably, they need to stop that downward spiral. That usually means IV fluids right away to rehydrate you and correct electrolyte imbalances. If the vomiting is really bad, they'll likely give strong anti-nausea medications, antiemetics, through the IV, like ondansetron or sometimes drugs like haloperidol in specific situations. These help stop the vomiting so you can stabilize, but remember, they treat the symptom, not necessarily the underlying cause yet.
So once you're more stable.
Then it's about figuring out and treating the underlying cause. If it's a blockage, that might mean surgery. If it's a bad infection, antibiotics. If it's a DKA, insulin, and continued fluids, they'll monitor you, see how you respond, and then decide the next steps, either discharging you home with clear instructions for follow-up or admitting you to the hospital for ongoing care if the condition is serious.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's try to boil this down. What are the absolute key takeaways from all these sources? It seems like it's not just about if you vomit, but how and why.
Exactly. The big takeaways are: pay attention to the duration. Is it lasting more than 48 hours? The intensity. Are you vomiting constantly, unable to keep anything down? And critically, the company it keeps is their severe pain, especially localized or preceding the vomiting. Are there neurological symptoms like confusion or severe headache? Is there blood, either bright red or like coffee grounds? Those accompanying factors are often more important than just counting episodes.
And that gut feeling matters too, right?
Absolutely. The sources consistently reinforce this. Trust your instincts. If you feel like something is seriously wrong, even if you can't pinpoint why, or if you feel too sick to safely get help yourself, don't hesitate. Seek emergency care. It's always better to be checked out and told it's nothing serious than to wait too long on something dangerous.
So wrapping this up, vomiting is basically the body's emergency eject button, designed to get rid of harmful things. But what's really fascinating is how that same alarm can be triggered by problems far removed from the stomach and the brain, the heart, the metabolism. It's a truly systemic warning signal.
It really is remarkable when you think about it. This single common reflex can signal anything from a simple virus to, you know, liver failure, a brain hemorrhage, a heart attack, a bowel obstruction. It's an incredibly versatile alarm system, which maybe leads to a final thought. What other seemingly simple bodily functions, like maybe a cough or a fever or dizziness, are actually these incredibly complex alarms capable of signaling danger across so many different body systems, something to maybe mull over?